Welcome to Busy Gamer Podcast 60. We publish BusyGamerNews.com, a gaming site for people too busy for gaming sites. And this podcast offers highlights from our site's reviews and feature articles short enough to enjoy during even the shortest commutes.
If you want the week's game releases, comprehensive DLC summaries, and our latest giveaways, visit BusyGamerNews.com. And the podcast will share just our latest gaming adventures in audio form as often as we can. This episode features Girl Got Game's examination of the music in our Game of the Year, Fallout New Vegas, our review of the game itself, a look at the first New Vegas DLC, Dead Money, and our runners-up for Game of the Year pick.
Yippee-yay, there'll be no wedding bells for today. So I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
jingle, jangle,
as I go riding merrily along.
Jingle, jangle,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single.
Jingle, jangle,
and that song ain't so very far from wrong.
Big bangs and big bands can mean only one thing. You're lost in the post-apocalyptic wastelands, trying to survive the fallout. What you just heard is from the E3 trailer for the latest installment in the franchise, and our Game of the Year pick, Fallout New Vegas. New Vegas pulls on two distinct, iconic themes for inspiration, the Wild West and Las Vegas lounge culture. It sounds schizophrenic, but somehow it works. It also presented the game's music coordinators with an opportunity to expand the soundtrack beyond the trademark crooners, swingers, and ladies singing the blues to include a few cowboy standards. Jingle Jangle Jingle was originally written by Frank Loesser and Joseph J. Lilly for the film The Forest Rangers, starring Fred McMurray and Susan Hayward, in 1942. The Louis Nunley version used in the film has a laid-back, western feel.
Oh, Lily Bell. Fell. I got spurs,
spurs
that jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding merrily along.
By contrast, the version of Jingle, Jangle, Jingle featured in New Vegas is an upbeat swing standard recorded in 1942 by the K. Kaiser Orchestra.
Oh, I got spurs that jingle, jangle,
I got spurs
jingle,
that jingle, jangle, jingle.
As I go riding merrily
as
along.
As I go riding merrily along.
And they sing, oh, ain't you glad
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad
and
you're
that
single.
Song ain't so very far
and that
from
song
wrong.
Ain't so
The Kaiser version steps up the tempo and features a big band duet between lead vocalists Harry Babbitt and Julie Conway, and audiences responded. The song spent 8 weeks at number one on the Billboard charts between July and September 1942. Other cowboy crooners, including Tex Ritter and Gene Autry, have covered Jingle Jangle Jingle through the years. None have captured the sunny, can-do spirit of the West that imbues Kaiser's version. Hearing this song play across the wastelands can feel deeply uplifting or strangely ironic, depending on how you prefer to play.
Heartache number one was when you left me. I never knew that I could hurt this way. And heartache number two was when you came back again. You came back but never meant to stay. Yes, I've got heartaches by the number, troubles by the score. Every day you love me less, each day I love you more. Yes, I've got heartaches by the number, a love that I can't win. But the day that I stop counting, that's the day my world will end.
One of the more traditional country and western songs to appear in Fallout New Vegas is Heartaches by the Number, written by Harlan Howard and recorded by Guy Mitchell in 1959. Mitchell's versions clearly touched country fans, The song claimed the top spot on the Billboard charts for 2 weeks in December 1959. Another artist, Ray Price, reached number 2 on the Billboard charts with his version of the tune and spent an impressive 40 weeks on the Billboard's Hot Country and Western Sides chart. The sheet music was also a bestseller in both the United States and Great Britain in 1960. Another traditional country and western song appearing in the game is Big Iron by Marty Robbins.
To the town of our free rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Big Iron tells the story of a nameless Arizona Rangers duel with an outlaw named Texas Red in the small town of Agua Fria, Arizona. As the ballad tells it, the townspeople expect Texas Red, who is based on real-life outlaw Billy the Kid, to kill the ranger at the late morning showdown. The ranger lives on to tell the tale thanks to the swiftness of the big iron on his hip. Big Iron was not a big hit, but did reach number 26 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1960.
Play the guitar, play it again, my Johnny. Maybe you're cold, but you're so warm inside. I was always a fool for my Johnny. Play it again, Johnny Guitar.
The ladies of the Old West are aptly represented by singer Peggy Lee, who recorded the theme song to Johnny Guitar, a 1954 Western starring Joan Crawford, Sterling Hayden, and Mercedes McCambridge. Lee's career spans 7 decades. Amazing in any field, but particularly impressive for a recording artist. She began her singing career on the local radio, later joining Benny Goodman's band as a vocalist, where she met her husband, guitarist Dave Barber. Peggy said, quote, David joined Benny's band. There was a rule that no one should fraternize with the girl singer, but I fell in love with David the first time I heard him play, and so I married him. Lee and her husband also appear together in Fallout New Vegas with their version of a classic woman's blues song.
You had a plenty money, 1922. You let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
Why don't you do right, get me some money too, was written by Kansas Joe McCoy in 1936. It was first recorded as The Weed Smoker's Dream by McCoy's band, the Harlem Hamfats. The song was subtitled Why Don't You Do Now for the original release. McCoy later rewrote the song, refining the music and completely changing the lyrics. Lil Green's jazzy blues version of the newly retitled Why Don't You Do Right was a hit in 1941.
If you had prepared 20 years ago, you wouldn't have been drifting from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men do?
The song has since been covered numerous times by such soul, pop, and blues luminaries as Ella Fitzgerald, Shirley Horn, Mel Torme, Della Reese, and Sinead O'Connor, but Lee's version remains one of the most beloved. She recorded the song in 1942 with Benny Goodman. It went on to sell more than 1 million copies and launched Lee to national stardom.
Love me as though there were no tomorrow. Oh, my darling, love me. Don't ever let me go.
Nathaniel Adam Coles, better known as Nat King Cole, engaged audiences with his rich vocals and jazz piano on stage while fighting for basic civil rights behind the scenes. Cole broke the television color barrier in 1956 by hosting the Nat King Cole Show on NBC. It began as 15 minutes, then expanded to a full half hour in July 1957. Stars ranging from Harry Belafonte to Ella Fitzgerald appeared for scale or for free to support the show, but it fell to the only color that matters in entertainment, green. Sponsors refused to support it, leading to its untimely demise just months after expanding to a half-hour format. In 1948, Cole purchased a home in the all-white Hancock Park area of Los Angeles. Neighbors made it clear he wasn't welcome, stating that they didn't want undesirables moving in. Cole reportedly responded, "Neither do I, and if I see anyone undesirable coming in here, I'll be the first to complain." Not all protests were civil. Members of the Ku Klux Klan burned a cross on his front lawn to send a message. Despite the hatred that surrounded him in his life, Cole infused his music with messages of love and hope.
"Love me as though there were no tomorrow. Because in New Vegas, hey, you never know."
Cole died in 1963, but his work continues to resonate with music lovers to this day. He has been inducted into the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame, the Downbeat Jazz Hall of Fame, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in recognition for his influence on countless rockers.
"Blue moon, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own."
That timeless classic was written by Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart in May 1933 for a Gene Harlow movie, Hollywood Party, but with very different lyrics. The original concept focused on Harlow as a young innocent singing her prayers. "Oh Lord, if you're not busy up there, I ask with a prayer, so please don't give me the air." Harlow never released that conversation with her deity, though. The lyrics were copyrighted as an unpublished work in July 1933. In 1934, Hart updated the song for a new MGM film, Manhattan Melodrama. The revised lyrics describe the breathless pace of New York life. "You gulp your coffee and run. Into the subway you crowd. Don't breathe, it isn't allowed." This version of the song, titled "It's Just That Kind of Play," didn't make the film's final cut either, joining Gene Harlow's prayers in unpublished heaven. While the lyrics didn't make it into Manhattan Melodrama, the music did, in the form of yet another song, "The Bad in Every Man." Shirley Ross performed the song on screen, and the tune was released as sheet music. Neither was a hit. Jack Robbins, head of MGM's publishing company, still believed the song had the potential to go big. It just needed more romantic lyrics and the right title. Hart wasn't particularly excited to take another pass at it, but he created one last set of lyrics to make the boss happy. Robbins was right. "Blue Moon" was a knockout.
"Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really could care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms will hold. I heard somebody whisper, 'Please adore me.' And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold."
The song was initially licensed to the radio program Holly Hotel, which used it as a theme song. It was subsequently featured in at least 7 more MGM movies and makes a brief appearance in the stage version of Grease. Dozens of artists have recorded it through the years, including Vegas luminaries Mel Torme and Elvis Presley, but it's Las Vegas icon Frank Sinatra who truly defines the song for a generation. Sinatra is synonymous with Las Vegas, and with good reason. His rollicking music and power ballads have become lounge standards across the nation, evoking visions of shiny tuxedos, lush environs, and the smell of money waiting to be won.
"How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat?"
Sinatra is joined on the Fallout New Vegas soundtrack by his good friend and fellow Rat Packer Dean Martin, whose career spanned the arts, from concerts and nightclubs to television and film. Born Dino Paul Crosetti, Dean began life on the nightclub circuit, eventually joining with comedian Jerry Lewis to form Martin and Lewis, with Dean playing the straight man to Jerry's antics. Lewis praised his partner as a comedy genius, but critics were less kind. Frustrated by bad reviews and bored by the formula, Martin struck off on his own. As a singer, Dean developed a signature style that spoke of good times and a swinging lifestyle. Dean wrote and recorded his hit, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, with conductor Nelson Riddle in 1960. Odds are you've heard the song somewhere before. It's appeared in countless movies, TV shows, and video games, including Vegas Vacation, Goodfellas, Ocean's 13, and Mafia 2. A lifelong smoker, Martin was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1993. He died of acute respiratory failure related to emphysema on Christmas morning 1995 at the age of 78. The lights of the Las Vegas Strip were dimmed in his honor. In 2005, the city renamed Industrial Road Dean Martin Drive. He also received a posthumous Grammy Award for Lifetime Achievement in February 2009 and was inducted into the Hit Parade Hall of Fame, awards that eluded him during his lifetime.
Ain't that a kick in the head? Sure is, Dino. It sure is.
Tell me quick. Boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick.
Fallout New Vegas marks our second Busy Gamer News game of the year, following Borderlands in 2009. In both cases, we picked the games that kept us playing during work breaks and long into the night. They both offer easy-to-pick-up controls and play dynamics, and save systems that made it easy to put down when business or sleep called. Fallout 3 might have been our game of the year in 2008, if we'd started naming them back then. Its engaging story, deep RPG mechanics, coupled with strong first-person shooter elements, and ability to save anywhere made this one of our most played games ever.
Fallout New Vegas isn't that different. You're another wasteland refugee, this time a down-on-his-or-her luck courier, left for dead and ready to wreak bloody vengeance across the desert. Or you can play like Game Watcher and be nice to everyone and see how far that gets you.
Hey, in Fallout 3, you're actually rewarded for playing nice.
Well, this isn't Fallout 3, is it? For one thing, the game is packed with factions for you to align with. My favorite is the mobster faction, the Omertos. Though, I eventually was forced to trade up to the super-nasty Roman gladiator-esque legion intent on world domination.
Silliest-dressed band of raping, slaving marauders you'll see east of California. Where's that touch of old world class?
Despite early reports that the game was buggy, we had very little difficulty. Our bigger complaint is that there are only 100 save slots. Hey, it's our hard drive. If we want to fill it up with save files, that should be our business. And what's with not letting us continue after the main quest finale? Did the Fallout 3 in-game fiasco teach the developers nothing? I leveled up 3 times at the end, and those levels would have come in real handy in the Dead Money DLC, which is a real pain, let me tell you. But a few small whiny complaints and the occasional glitch or two did not ruin our fun. We've each logged 60-plus hours and we're still going strong, cruising the desert.
As though there were no...
Listening to Mr. New Vegas?
Mojave? Mo problems. Am I right?
Battling giant scorpions? Trying to make time with Veronica?
Ooh, got something good for me? Is it a dress?
My only female companion who has not, given it up to me. And supposedly she plays for my team.
Should have brought something to read.
There is so much to do in and around New Vegas. Odds are you'll find something that appeals to your sensibilities. Game Watcher and I have made very different choices, resulting in completely different outcomes across various quests and side quests.
Gamora! It'll be our secret.
The best part is that, most of the time, it's easy to put down and come back to. It's not so much addictive as very deep and engaging. And we do. Keep coming back to it, that is. As we did with Fallout 3 before.
And we bet you will, too.
I got the skills to keep me out of danger. Would you believe it that I almost drowned while crossing a bridge and shot out by some raiders? You know they're making it hard for me.
I know we approached Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3 before it very different ways, yet we both are hooked on the series. Which is the main reason we named it Busy Gamer News Game of the Year? What is it about Fallout that has us both hooked?
The ability to burn down cities, abuse substances, and beat down random strangers from the comfort of your own home?
Or not. I remember in Fallout 3 how giddy I was that the game rewarded me for helping people. In a constrained economy, with a limited amount of wealth to discover, you can only steal so much stuff and sell it for profit before you're the only person in town with any currency. I was rich, had people walking up to me on the street and handing me treats, and you were suffering for your cruelty. It was one of the few games where I've seen this happen.
It made me crazy. I just don't have the patience to be good. Plus, I'm good all day. I don't want to spend my nights running errands for other people.
I know you absolutely hate the Elder Scrolls series. This is basically the same game, but Elder Scrolls is just set in a fantasy realm. Is it the guns and sci-fi and Fallout that won you over?
Absolutely. The storytelling is great. I just didn't get into the Elder Scrolls storyline. But it's also the writing. I can't stand the,
"Hail, thou art a big lion. Let's go forth and do battle."
I much prefer the Mad Max School of Apocalypse. The guns are nice too, although I do enjoy a good sword fight. Especially when the sword sets my enemies on fire.
My only real complaint about Fallout 3, and the reason I've stopped playing finally, is that one of the DLC packs is a real bear. Point Lookout just creams my level 27 character on a regular basis.
The plagues slow you down!
And it seems that Bethesda has repeated this mistake with Dead Money.
You've heard of the Sierra Madre Casino. We all have. The legend, the curses, a bright, shining monument luring treasure hunters to their doom.
I was extremely frustrated with Dead Money. Beeping collars, deadly air, and one of the worst Fallout maps to date. I quit midway through a mission that I'm fairly confident is either the finale or really close to it because I just couldn't take it anymore. I reloaded an older Fallout New Vegas game and went back to the Mojave. I'll get those lost level bumps back eventually.
I think the key is to find the things that you really enjoy. For me, exploring, combat, and side quests. And just pursue those things. If something has you down, dump it and move on to a new area that's more interesting. In fact, I'm going back to Fallout 3 and leave Point Lookout right now.
We're playing for fun. What's won has been won. The bell has been rung. The banners are hung.
Despite its obvious appeal, we didn't immediately settle on New Vegas as our game of the year. Here are some of the titles that were close contenders and worthy of your game time.
Daddy, you always save me from the monsters.
Another impressive sequel, Bioshock 2 captured the immersive atmosphere of the original, but with an all-new story and some truly jaw-dropping twists. Once you beat the game, the Minerva's Den add-on is worth continuing your journey into Rapture even further. We even got into the multiplayer for a spell.
A neat twist on the platformer-slash-racer genre, Rascals really impressed us at PAX last fall.
So it's a puzzle platformer.
With a little racing component. So in the story mode, with some of the maps, you actually, they are true puzzles where you have to eliminate certain blocks so that other blocks don't fall down and explode if they're like bomb blocks and stuff like that.
Now that it's out on Xbox Live Arcade, we're enjoying both the story mode and multiplayer races. A bit of a button masher, to be sure, but loads of fun. If you have it, hit us up on Live.
It looks like we've got company, too. Monkey, Pixie, can you take care of those mechs?
No problem.
A compelling story and solid third-person action makes Enslaved worth your time. Most of the actual play mechanics feel familiar, but the story is so good, you may not even notice.
Zuma Blitz made it safe to go back to Facebook games. It'll eat away your day, 1 minute at a time, more or less. It's much deeper than you'd expect, and with new boards every week, it's worth coming back to. Even if I'll never beat Girl Got Game, Shane for Wax, or Trixie360.
Despite its added depth and graphic polish, Puzzle Quest 2 somehow didn't overpower the original, which we played for more than a year, in terms of addictive gameplay. But it's a solid sequel, and worth a try to see if it grabs you.
On Twitter, we encourage you to follow Game Watcher and Girl Got Game. That's G-R-R-L Got Game. We often tweet news that isn't big enough to deserve an entry on the site, or has a very limited shelf life. We also have a BGN community Twitter list. If you're not on it and want to be, send Game Watcher an at reply.
We also encourage you to join the Busy Gamers Facebook group and our Busy Gamer News Facebook fan page.
If you use Stitcher Radio, search for Busy Gamer and favorite us there. And if you enjoy the podcast, please like us there too. We're also on Zune Marketplace, and we'd love it if you rate and review us on iTunes.
Some of the music in this podcast came from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio, that's MEVIO.com. You can find details and links for these and other songs at busygamernews.com, WAC Podcast.
Stay classy, New Vegas.